stand with me just one more time, and can we go and read in our text together, Isaiah 58, verse 12. Say a little prayer for my voice this morning. I've been struggling all week with, I guess, bronchitis or something like that, and I've been taking some super large, extra large pills that the doctor gave me to break that up. But I'll try to preach to you this morning, and I hope I don't sound like Mickey Mouse by the time we finish. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Lord, laid this on my heart several weeks ago. It said, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths or the streets to dwell in. One more time, would you bow your head and would you help me pray this morning? Lord, we invite your presence into this house. In fact, we have already sensed your presence, and we know that you are among us to do great and mighty things this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And one more time, we ask for your anointing that we can minister, preach beyond ourselves, beyond our ability today. God, that you would focus our hearts and focus our minds upon your word, and upon the word that you have for us this morning, an on-time word, a lively word, a powerful word that will stir us to action, will motivate us to a closer walk with you. We pray your blessing, God, upon each one, upon Eloise and all those who are sick and maybe in the hospital. We pray for them this morning that you would go by their way and touch them. And Lord, we pray for those that mourn. You said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, Lord, we invite your presence into this house. We ask your help, your strength, your anointing, your blessing upon each family and each person that is here today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets, maybe the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, wrote many profound things, but we find something here that God laid upon his heart in verse 58 to preach, to tell the people that God was going to use them to do something great. God was going to use them, he said, to build the old waste places. He said, I'm going to use you to raise up the foundations of many generations. As I look around this room and as I begin to learn you and your family and your children, your grandchildren, I see in many cases many generations. And I just propose to us this morning that the heritage of the Lord is very important. And God has a desire that not only our children be saved, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and that heritage to extend beyond where we are today. And here, Isaiah is telling them, and I believe he's telling us, that we can play a role in that, that we can step up as light bearers for the gospel, for our family's sake, and we can see a heritage continue on to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. He said here that you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now, the context of this is the people were crying out to God, and they said, God, why are you not moving in a great way? God, why are we not seeing you move like we want to see you move? Why are we not seeing the blessings and the fruitfulness and the abundance that we want? And Isaiah says to them, you're doing well. You're following rituals. You're praying. You're fasting. And how many times as a church and as a church body and as Christians, we do well. We follow Christ. We do the things that we know that we're supposed to do. We assemble in the house of the Lord. We pray, we fast, we seek God. But here Isaiah is saying to them, it's time to go beyond the rituals. It's time to go into a pleasing and a productive lifestyle that will impact the world around us. That impact that will extend to others. If you look down in verses 6 and 7, when you first read it, you think this is God working. And yes, it is God working. But the context of this is God wants to do these things through his people. God works through us.
Yes, he does.
God has designed it that he will work through us and live through us and move through us. And in verse 6, he said, I want you to loose the bonds of wickedness. I want to see the heavy burdens lifted. I want to see the oppressed go free and every yoke to be broken. How many knows that the Spirit of God can do those things? How many knows that the Spirit of God still sets the captive free? He still lifts the heavy burden. He still breaks the yoke off of those who are bound. The Spirit of the Lord will still do those things. But he wants to do those things through you and I. We are his vessels, and he wants to anoint us and empower us to do those things. You say, me? Yes, you. All of us. In verse 7, he says, share your bread with the hungry. Bring into your house the poor. Clothe the destitute. Don't hide from the needs of your fellow man. He is saying, I want to move. I want to bless. I want to do things in this world, but you are my hands. You are my feet. And when we see the needs around us, may we step up to the task. May we go beyond just living, but may we begin living it out.
Amen.
That we see results, that we see fruit, that we see impact. Here's what will happen in verse 8. You see the candles and the light here this morning. He said, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I want to tell us this morning that when we step out in faith, when we step out as a vessel to be used from God, God will go before us, but his glory will also be behind us. He's got our back this morning. He's leading the way, but he also has our back, and he will empower us and use us. You see, ritual must turn to relationship. Look at verse 9. He said, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. You look at the last part of verse 10. Your light shall dawn into the darkness, and the darkness shall be as the noonday. How many knows that we live in a dark world today? We live in a dark world, but God is saying we can carry the light and that can be like the noonday. Some of us walk into a workplace or into a hospital or into a family situation and it seems dark, but we're carrying with us a light. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul in drought. He will strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of waters that will not fail. You see, God will empower us. He will make us productive. And those rituals of just living the Christian life turn into a relationship, our relationship with him and our relationship with others. How many knows that we can't just have a relationship with God, because by mandate, our relationship with God compels us into a relationship with others. And then that relationship can cause us to become a repairer. Somebody say repairer. See, verse 12, our text this morning said, those from among you this morning shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairers of the breach. What is a repairer? Somebody who fixes something. Now, I want to tell you right now, as your pastor, the one thing I promise you I cannot do, if you call me to come to your house to fix something, you have called the wrong number. I'll send my wife to you. She can change a toilet. She can probably put a roof on, but not this old boy. But I want you to know that we are repairers out in this world. The other word for that repairer was a mender. Aren't there hearts that are broken? Hearts that are devastated, lives that are torn apart. I get messages all the time. I'm sure that you hear and see, and maybe within our own family or extended family. Can I tell you that we need some repairers in this world? We need some menders. And as I carry my light, and as I walk my day-to-day path, and as you carry your light for Christ, and you walk your day-to-day path, may our relationships become more than just relationships. May we be compelled to be menders and repairers of the breach. What is the breach? The breach is a gap, a brokenness. If we look around in this world today, we see a brokenness. We see a gap. We see a solution, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see a world that is seemingly way over here. But He has called us to be a repairer of the breach. May our light extend into the darkness. May our light show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He said, you're going to be a restorer of the past to dwell in. A restorer is a person who repairs or renovates and brings something back to its original condition. Think of a piece of art or a piece of furniture that somebody has lovingly taken and restored and brought it back, the beauty that once was there. Can I tell you, there are people in this world that there is beauty there. There is beauty there, but the things of this world have beaten them down and torn them up. But I want to propose to us, we have a gospel message this morning. And that message is one of restoration. And there are those that say, I have gone too far. There is not any hope for me. But we are shining a light this morning to say, you have not gone too far. You have not strayed too far. But God can bring us back to our original condition. He is the ultimate restorer, but He has called us to partner with Him to reach out and be restorers of the breach. What are you saying, preacher? What are you trying to preach? Here's what I see this morning. I see there is a foundation here, but there's a breach out there. But there's a light everywhere. There's a foundation here. There's a breach out there, but there is a light everywhere. That foundation starts with His story. I wanted to start this part of my service this morning with us recognizing Him. He is the Christ. He is the Christ of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. And all of this starts with His story. Paul summed it up well in Ephesians 1:7 when he said this, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His. But then His story extends to our story. And I've always loved this psalm. In Psalm 40, he said this. David wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to God. Many will see it and fear it and will trust in the Lord. Have you been regenerated this morning? I wish everyone could have heard the Sunday school message this morning. We have been saved. We have been changed. And that ray of hope, our story, becomes a ray of hope to someone else's story. You see, it starts with His story. It extends then to our story. But our story can bring hope and cause somebody else to find Him and have their own testimony. Here's that testimony, Ephesians 2:1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now listen, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. For some reason, that just grabbed me as I was preparing this sermon, and I just want to say to all of us, some may be sitting in this room this morning and saying, well, I'm just an old sinner, and I'm not good like you, or I'm not good like them. But I want to tell you that the Scripture tells us we are all by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. Sometimes I have to remind myself that it is not my righteousness. My righteousness is His filthy rag. But we were all by nature the children of wrath, just as all the others. I could stop right there and that would sound pretty sad. That would be pretty depressing. But if you read the very next verse, you have some reason to shout. We have reason to hope. And if you're sitting here this morning and you say, I want to serve God, but I just don't understand how, I want to tell you, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Even when we were ornery, even when we were in rebellion, he loved us and he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we are saved. Can I just stop right here just for a moment? And can I ask anybody in the house, are you saved by grace? I mean, are you saved by grace? Do you know your story is his story? Saved by grace. He has raised us up. In verse 6, he said, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then he kind of segues back into our main theme this morning in verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship. So what is he working in you? What is he working in me? What is he working in us as a corporate body? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You mean God has a plan for your life? God has a plan for my life? Yes, indeed, he does. And he has good works. He has good works that he has already planned, an agenda that he has already set for you and for me, that we can be used of God in these last days and in this dark and dying world. You see, this hope that we have found compels us to action. May we be a church of action. May we be a people of action, spreading the light of the gospel, showing the way to God and speaking the truth in love. How many knows that this world needs to hear the truth? How many knows that we don't see and hear the truth very often? If I turn through the news channels, it is always biased one way or the other. This way, that way. I don't hear the truth very often, but we're in a world today where the church must define reality. We must define the reality that we live in. We live in a 2 Timothy chapter 3 reality where Timothy said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We live in a post-Christian reality. We live in a pro-abortion reality. We live in a gender-confused reality. Did you ever think you would see the day where we had to flip a coin to decide what to put on a birth certificate? We live in perilous times. That is the definition of our reality. But can I preach to myself this morning and to all of us? This morning, I'm not preaching to the world out there. I'm preaching to us. And too many times, if I'm not careful, I'll get on a high horse and I can define reality and I can preach on the world. But God and Isaiah would say here, wait a minute, it starts with the house of the living God. Amen. It starts with us. We must go beyond just defining the reality, and we must propel ourselves into actions to be repairers and restorers of the breach. It does me no good, it does us no good to come week after week and define the reality of this world and then not get up and do something about it. God, help us to spread the light and the hope that we have found within our hearts and within our lives. There is a lost and hurting world that needs it. For if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. Our mission statement here at this church, Nortonsville Church of God, is called to be a lighthouse to the people of Nortonsville and the surrounding communities. What has God called this church to be? A lighthouse. God has called us to come together, yes, corporately, and to love one another and to learn His word and to experience His presence. But then we leave to serve, and we leave and we carry our lights all around Central Virginia, and we carry those lights into the darkness, and we show that there is hope and there's a better way. You see, there's a foundation here in this church. There's a great foundation, but there's a breach out there. But the light can be everywhere. A light that will bridge the gap. A light that will guide the way. If our musicians will come and get in place, I've asked them to sing something. We're going to do something a little different here this morning. If they go ahead and get in place, and you can start playing whenever you're ready. But we are a lighthouse. And I looked up, what is a lighthouse? A lighthouse was designed as a safety mechanism for seagoing traffic. And a vessel out on the sea can see a light and they can find direction. They can find safety. They can find safe harbor. But our lighthouse here, this church, this body of Christ, we're not designed for seagoing traffic, but we are designed for eternal going traffic. Can I propose to you this morning that everything that we do has eternal bearings on it? As a church, may we never lose sight that we are here to rescue the lost and the perishing. May we never lose sight that eternal lives are at stake. There are people maybe that only this church could reach. God help us to reach them. There are people in our lives that maybe we are the only ones who can reach them. God, help us to shine our lights and reach them and be repairers and restorers of the breach. We have a foundation here. There's a breach out there, but we can carry the light of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere. God, help us to do it. God, help us to do it. As we move together as a body of believers, as Christ's body together, as we move together, let us be mindful every decision, every step, every service, every song, everything we do, let us be mindful that eternal souls are at stake. And we can rescue the perishing. There's somebody down here in one of these hollows. There's somebody down off of 33. There's somebody across the mountain that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. May we reach them before it's too late. May we shine the light of the gospel to them before it's too late, that they would know the hope that we have on our inside. They can know this same Jesus Christ. The old song in the Redback hymnal said, "Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love, but send the light." And I say this morning, I ask that the Holy Spirit would renew in us as individuals and as a corporate body our mission. And what is that mission? To be a lighthouse to Nortonsville and the surrounding communities. That our light would shine brightly in the darkness. That we will be repairers. That we'll be restorers. Ron Walters said it this way: the church belongs to Christ and always will. It has His name written all over it. After all, He built it. He bought it. He is the head of it. He is the chief cornerstone. But we are commissioned to keep the warning light lit and build upon His foundation faithfully. Here's what Walter said. He said, "Take ownership of your church. Claim it as your own. Carve your name just below His name. Leave your indelible mark for future generations." Anybody want to leave a mark? It can start today. Leave a mark. Propel a heritage. Let it be known that you were there. I watched a beautiful funeral be preached the other day. Travis Gore told me that Pastor Allison preaches the best funerals, and I sat over there and I watched it and I saw it. But I also heard a testimony and comment after comments about a man who left a mark, an indelible mark. And I want to tell every one of us that if time tarries, we're going to go that same way. We're going to leave this world. But when I lay my head down, I want to know that I have done everything I can to spread the light and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know that I have left a heritage for my children and my children's children and their children, and to know that he was a man of God and he stood for what was right. And I propose that this church, corporately, we can make an indelible mark upon this world. We have the best news. We have the greatest news, the news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that still changes hearts, changes minds. Would you stand with me all over this building this morning? I want to ask Pastor Jacob and Pastor Jay, would one of you come to each of the tables here for just a moment? Ask them if they would help me this morning. The song that they're going to sing this morning embodies the entirety of the message today. Everyone needs compassion, the kindness of the Savior. Let your mercy fall on me. Hallelujah. Anybody glad that you have found the mercy of God? Anybody glad that you know that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness to us? And I say this morning, may our praise and our gratefulness and our gratitude for the mercies of God, may it propel us to greater action, to a boldness together, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him this morning. It's all about him this morning. We have put on the candles, hashtag bold together. Hashtag bold together. And I say this morning, I am asking that the Holy Spirit would come among us this morning and create a connection and a unity like we have never known before. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for men to dwell in unity. Pastor Allison, you preached on that a little bit the other night, I think. And the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, down on his garment. That oil is the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit knows how to bind us together. The Holy Spirit knows how to keep us together. You see, he is the steward of the church. He is the guide of the church. And I believe this morning that he said, when you come together, I want us to love one another like never before. And then I'm praying that not only the Holy Spirit would bind us together, but the Holy Spirit would propel us to take bold action for the cause of Christ. That we would be bold witnesses again. That we would be bold for the kingdom. That we would step out of our comfort zones. Shine our light. You see, there's a foundation here. There's a breach out there. But the light can go everywhere. I have an assignment. You have an assignment. Tomorrow morning, the alarm clock will go off. I'll hit the snooze bar. The alarm clock will go off. I'll hit the snooze bar again. Repeat that many, many, many times. But once I do get out of the bed and I wipe the little sleepers out of my eyes and I comb my hair and we start going about our day, I want to tell you that God has divine appointments made for you and me all through the day. And may the love of Christ be with us as we walk. May our words be seasoned with grace and love. May we show love and compassion and healing. May we be repairers and restorers of the breach. Somebody out there may need mending, and you might be the one to wrap your arms around them and say, Jesus loves you. I love you. Somebody may just need to be heard, and you just might be the ear that says, go ahead, tell me, get it off your chest. You see, God has called us into this world to be light. Well, feel the presence of the Lord this morning. Before we come forward, would anybody just be willing to lift your hand to the Lord this morning for just a moment in His presence? Can we just offer up a praise to God right here? Can we just offer up a praise to the Lord this morning? If you've been saved, we ought to thank Him. If we've been saved and we know that mercy that endures forever, oh, as the psalmist said, and He lifted me out of the pit. He has placed my feet upon a firm foundation. He has put a song in my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship You this morning. We bless Your name. We praise Your name this morning. My name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that when my head hits the pillow tonight, I don't have to worry, but I've been saved, gloriously saved. But that compels us to action. There are more that need to know. There are more that need to be saved. There are more that need to be reached. God, help us to reach them. God, help us to reach them in love. Oh yes, speak the truth, but do it in love. They will know we are Christians by our love. May we shine our lights. I want to say to you this morning that as we come, I'm going to give instruction here in just a moment, but as we come and we join together this morning as a corporate body, I want to say that if there's anybody who needs to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, grab a hold of one of us pastors here. Grab a hold of somebody. We'll pray with you. Or just hit your knees right where you are, because He'll meet you there. I want to tell you that if you don't know Jesus, or if you've wandered away, today is the day of salvation. Today He can change your life and put a new song in your heart and make a new creation out of you.